7 o'clock. Let's call this meeting in order, please. Please rise for the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Roll call, please.
Coke?
Here.
Colosimo?
Present.
Cott?
Here.
Nosciuski?
Here.
Frieders?
Here.
Funkhauser?
Here.
Terulis?
Here.
Teeling?
Here.
Quorum is established.
Any amendments to tonight's agenda? We have no presentations or public hearings. We'll open up citizen comments on items that are on the agenda this evening. Do we have any citizen comment? Help yourself, Ms. Kramer. Oh, sorry.
I got married a couple years ago.
I knew that.
That's okay. Everybody still calls me Kramer. Good evening. My name is Kelly Helen, and I'm here representing Ben and Regina Moe, the property owners of 415 Walnut Street in Yorkville. Barb Nielsen, the property owner of 417 Wall Street in Yorkville, and Scott Flynn, or Francis Flynn, and Paula Corbin, who own 419 Walnut Street in Yorkville. My clients have filed a written legal objection that if we would request be entered into the minutes and the record here this evening. Additionally, as a matter of housekeeping, Hartley Pearson, who is present and in the crowd today, would request to submit a petition that he obtained signatures of residents in Yorkville into the minutes and the record, as would Ben and Regina Moe. So if I could please approach him.
You can give it to the clerk.
Don't necessarily object to senior housing, nor would they object to rezoning of the subject site to an R2 or possibly an R3 zoning designation and a two-story facility to be constructed on the subject site. Essentially, my client's contention is the subject site, as proposed, is too intense, too high, and the petitioner is essentially trying to fit a square peg into a round hole. While we do understand there's a need in the community for senior housing, and in the event a senior facility went up each and every year, it would probably be filled to capacity. This particular project, as presented, does not comply with the City of Yorkville Code as it pertains to rezoning and the state statute, nor does it comply with the factors in LaSalle Bank versus Cook County and Sclera Pipeline cases. I'll keep it brief because I probably beat it to death in the written report that we filed. But essentially, the need of the community and the community good or the greater good is only one factor that you as a city council should be viewing or looking at when approving or denying a rezoning and variance request. The other factors are the existing zoning, the trend in development in that particular area, the extent of diminished values of properties in the particular area, and the gain to the public compared to the hardship endured by the individual property owners. Other factors that should be considered are the suitability of the site, the length of the time that's been vacant, and the community need, along with whether or not your particular municipality has a comprehensive plan and what that comprehensive plan designates the specific site to be zoned as and used as, and lastly, the impact of traffic. We believe that each and every factor has not been provided, or petitioner fails to provide sufficient evidence for each and every factor except need of the community and traffic as it pertains to my particular clients. We do appreciate the developers' revisions to the site plan and specifically moving the entrance of the site from Walnut Street over to Landmark Street, because that completely minimizes the effect of traffic on my client's property. Although the residents in Landmark, off of Landmark Drive and Longford Lakes may have an objection to that movement. It's been said in the media, and it's been said at prior meetings, this is essentially like constructing the Hampton Inn, the only other four-story building in Yorkville, in the middle of an old residential neighborhood. And I'd like to see, as a show of hands, how many people have actually seen or visited
the site? Please, Dr. Collins, up here, please. Don't ask for a show of hands. Thank you.
If I could ask for a show of hands, up to
Collins. Dr. Collins, street chair, please.
If I could ask by a show of hands how many members of the council have viewed this specific the site in Glendale Heights.
This is time for public comment. If you'd like to comment, please comment, and I'll come on.
I personally visited the subject site, or I'm sorry, the proposed site in Glendale Heights, and it is a four-story building that is equivalent to the height of the Hampton Inn. It would be similar to taking the vacant property, which is approximately 3 acres in Countryside Center, in the middle of the subdivision, putting the Hampton Inn there. There's a horse barn behind our office, and a vacant lot in between that would be like putting the Hampton Inn right off of Elizabeth Street. Be like putting it in the middle of Conover subdivision. It's my client's contention that this specific site is too small, the use is too intense, and the petitioners failed to meet the statutory and case law requirements to support a rezoning and a variance. Furthermore, my clients do object as taxpayers to the proposed rent assistance program that's on tonight's agenda that was not on the agenda previously. And for the foregoing reasons, my clients would hereby request that the council deny the variance request, deny the rezoning request, deny the rental subsidies request, and deny the request to approve the development agreement that's been presented. Thank you.
Thank you. Do we have any other citizen comments on items that are on the agenda this evening?
If I could enter my...
I think she probably has a copy already.
Okay.
And not to get my...
You guys have all seen me before, and you're probably all sick and tired of hearing the same thing over and over again, so I'm not going to beat a dead horse. Thank you for the opportunity to address the council this last time on behalf of not only senior services, but the senior community. My name, as most of you know, is Carolyn Clevenger, and I am Information Assistance Specialist with Senior Services, where I've been approximately 8 years. I can't reiterate enough the need for this housing. You all know that the need is great. I've spotted facts and figures, and you all know that there are seniors currently living in the homeless system at San Kendall County, and some even living in their cars. I have one that tonight, I don't know where she's sleeping. She left the senior center about 4 o'clock and won't go back to PADS because she's had a bad experience and has no vehicle. So I've given out my own personal money before for people to stay in a hotel, and I would do it again in a heartbeat. The one thing I'd like to leave you thinking about is the positive impact that a yes vote would bring tonight. Alderman Koch has copies of the petitions that have been signed at our local senior housing communities, along with the senior centers here in Kendall County. I've had seniors come from the community and speak on behalf of this and plead with you to vote yes. I've voiced the insistent need to care for the elder community that made Yorkville what it is today. They are what built us and the foundation of everything that Yorkville stands for. There are more positive aspects to this development than there are negatives. Most involving the negatives are the aesthetics and the size, the look, the not in my backyard approach. If not there, then where? If not this one, then which one? If we continue to turn our backs on the developers that want to come to the community, they're going to stop coming. And that's my biggest concern. We as a community continue to turn our backs on the projects that are going to better the lives of those living here, then what type of community are we? community is defined as a group of individuals that, although different, are striving for the better good of the community. They look out for one another and they protect the most vulnerable, which is our seniors, our disabled, and our children. They weigh the pros and cons, and they do what's best for the bigger part. I ask you to vote with your heart and be willing to welcome a development into this community, even if it's not in this proposed site. I pray that it is, just because we'd like to get the ball rolling, of course. The longer we wait, the longer the need goes on. I was given a quote once that stuck with me. Behold the turtle, for he makes progress only when he sticks his neck out. And I ask you all to consider that tonight when you make your vote. I truly believe that we need to stick our necks out once in a while. I think that this is one of those once in a whiles. We need to do what is best for the SLU. As Alderman Frieders put it, I've laughed about that now for a couple of weeks now. You know, consider the SLU and not the few. Thank you for your time and consideration, and thank you for hearing what I have to say. I think you guys definitely don't make enough money for what you do, and are really in a hot seat tonight. So I do hope that you make a vote for the best of the SLU and not the few. Thank you.
Thank you, Carolyn. Any other public comment?
Good evening, Your Honor. I've read the story and everything, I've heard the comments, and I understand the people's concerns. There's a couple of things. All this is nothing but a band-aid. I appreciate the poor people, the elderly, and no place to go. This is government's fault. These elderly people would not need a place to go if the damn property taxes weren't so high. If income taxes weren't so high. If there weren't more regulations on products and services offered to the senior citizens, those products and services could be made affordable. This is a government problem. Government here is the problem, not the solution. And I have seen this time and time again. Housing for the poor. It was in East Berlin. It was in communist Poland. It was in communist Czechoslovakia. These places then become slums. And just because the majority votes for it, does not make it law. Remember, in a democracy, two wolves and a sheep vote on what's for dinner. Our Constitution guarantees us a Republican form of government. In a Republican form of government, two wolves and a sheep vote for what's for dinner, but the armed sheep contest the vote and I contest the vote. Majority does not make law. And the law is not the law. I keep hearing this. We have to adhere by the law. The law is not the law. Always. There was the Fugitive Slave Act that says if you find a runaway slave, that person has to return that slave. I ask that you look at this noble over there. How many of you here would say, I would have returned your ancestors because the law says that I have to return them? The biggest question here, and the thing that this council has to answer, is what have you done to protect the senior citizens? Our senior citizens, once they retire, their property taxes should be cut in half. And I'll take it one step further. Any senior citizen who is a veteran or is the widow of a veteran and lost a spouse in the war should not have to pay property taxes at all. That's our responsibility to take care of that person. The right to take care of people is a religious principle. It's a humanity principle. That is our responsibility. It is not government's responsibility. Anytime the government steps in to take care of the person, you're taking money or privileges or rights from another person and you're using them as a bribe to buy another person. That's all it is. It is the most, I know it sounds good, on the face, you're trying to take care of a certain demographic, and I appreciate it. But this is the most dangerous thing we could ever do. I guarantee it. And I would ask this council, I would challenge this council, name five things you've done to protect these senior citizens from an overreaching government. Three. Name three. Can you name one? This is the problem. We don't work to take care of our senior citizens' real problems. Your Honor, I object, and I would remind these few homeowners who object to it, that is their right. It is our responsibility to take care of them, not to submit to the majority. That is the right thing to do. Remember, we all have rights, but my rights end where yours begin. The property builders have a right to develop, but their rights end where the homeowner's properties begin. Thank you, Your Honor.
Thank you for the opportunity to come before you again. This is my third time speaking. There's a couple of things that I wanted to...
Can you state your name for the record?
Scott Flint, 419 Mellon Street. There's a couple of things that I've heard from the developer that I understand makes a lot of sense for their development. One is the dot with a circle around it that encompasses all the entities that will provide services for the seniors. Well, if you take that dot and you move it north of 34, and in other words, either east or west of 47, it does the same thing. And probably even better. And the garage thing that they're trying to sell is so wonderful to the seniors. The only reason they're putting the garage under it is because there's no room for parking. The other reason that they're interested in this piece of property is because, it's cheaper than the property north, east and west, because it's zone R1. Anything that would be zoned properly for this, of course, would cost more. So that's kind of I understand the idea of making money and being profitable. That is their right. But they're selling it to us like it's some kind of righteous thing that they're doing, and it's not. It's about them. And I agree that the seniors need to be taken care of. We've seen this before. I've seen it in other communities where developers come in and they have all these grandiose ideas and they sell it to the council and they sell it to the mayor and they sell it like it's such a good idea. They get what they want and they're gone. It happens everywhere. They're very good about it. That's what they do. They're professionals. And the part is figuring out where this goes, I'm sure the city has some kind of comprehensive planning, long-range planning, that includes something like this, some kind of development like this. But I'll bet you in that comprehensive planning, it isn't rezoning R1 to R4. Because if it is, that doesn't make sense. And then for that, to set precedents for this city, that you can just take a residential R1 and rezone it to R4, does that mean that you're open for that at any given time? It does. Precedent always rules. Because you can go back to it and say, you did it for him, why can't you do it for me? So be careful what you're doing. I know I'm sticking up for my best interests and the interests of my neighbors. All of them, I have some of the finest neighbors anybody could ever want. These are good people. These are sharing people. These are people that take care of their own and take care of others. We're not the enemy here. We're residents, we're taxpayers. We do the best we can. And for you to shove this down our throat, and for your grandiose idea to put this in an R1, because it's cheaper than something that would be zoned otherwise, only means it's to their benefit, not to the benefit of the seniors. I thank you for the opportunity again. I know you're on the hot seat. I've been on boards. It's not always easy. But it is easy when you check your heart and you do the right thing. You can never go wrong with doing the right thing. Plan for this in your housing, but put it in the right spot. This is not. Thank you very much.
Thank you, sir. Any other comments? Hearing none, we'll move on to the regular agenda. I'll entertain a motion to approve the consent agenda as presented.
So moved.
Second.
Roll call, please.
Pelosima?
Aye.
Leschewski?
Aye.
Tarulis?
Aye.
Frieders?
Aye.
Funkhauser?
Aye.
Koch?
Aye.
Teeling?
Aye.
Kott?
Aye.
Motion passes.
I'll entertain a motion to approve the minutes of the regular city council meetings of January 12th, 2016 and January 26th, 2016 as presented. So we have a second.
Second.
Comments, questions, corrections on the minutes? All those in favor approving both sets of minutes as presented, please state aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Okay, on the mayor's report, so I will entertain a motion to approve an ordinance amending the number of members of the planning commission and authorize the mayor and city clerk to execute.
So moved. Second.
Comments or questions on this? We are going to change the planning commission from 9 down to 7. Difficult to get the quorum of 9 members in the attendance that we've had lately. I just had another planning commission member resign today, so we have another opening.
I just wanted to say I appreciate that this is being done. It's very easy for the mayor to not want to relinquish power, and that's exactly what you're doing in this situation. You have the ability to put people you know, people who support you, or people who back you onto this commission. Instead, you're going in the other direction, consolidating the board to make it more efficient. So I do appreciate that, and I wanted to acknowledge that. I think that 7 members is, you know, equivalent to what we have around us, and it's going to be easier for a forum to get things done in a more effective manner. So I appreciate you doing that, Mayor, and I vote for it.
And supporting me has never been a prerequisite to serve. Otherwise,
trust me, there's plenty of times at
the
moment.
The planning commission would have voted yes on that. any other comments or questions? We will put an advertisement in the newspaper looking for another planning commission member. Anyone in the audience is interested, get an application in. Roll call, please.
Milchewski?
Aye.
Teeling? Aye. Koch?
Aye.
Kott?
Aye.
Frieders?
Aye.
Tarulis?
Aye.
Pelosima?
Aye.
Funkhauser?
Aye.
Motion passes.
I'll entertain a motion to approve an amendment to extend the ending date for the Kennedy Road ITEP shared use path and authorize the mayor to execute.
So moved.
Comments or questions on this one? Roll call, please.
Teeling?
Aye.
Koch?
Aye.
Kott?
Aye.
Frieders?
Aye.
Tarulis?
Present.
Pelosima?
Nay.
Funkhauser?
Aye.
Leschewski?
Aye.
Motion passes.
We have no committee reports tonight. One item from Park Board. How about Alderman Frieders to make this motion?
I'd like to make a motion to approve the installation of a community apiary at Bridge Park.
Do we have a second?
Second.
Comments or questions?
Chris, you had some questions.
I generally support this one. I like the concept. I've supported the residential beehives as well, so no surprise that I would be supporting this. Question I have, we added in, first of all, I took the time to listen to the audio from the meeting, so I had several of my questions answered. We are providing insurance as part of this.
No, we're not.
We are not. That's okay, so we're not going to do that. I saw it was in the packet.
We're required.
We are requiring.
We're requiring
applicants to be insured for whatever it is, a million. $1 million?
Yeah, so they can either do it on their homeowner's insurance, or they can get a separate insurance being listed in there. So places that they can go get that type of insurance.
In between that and the...
an apiary policy.
Between that and the application, the waiver included there, we are indemnified of anything that could happen related to having beehives.
Yes, that's when I spoke to our insurance agent. As long as they have that $1 million thing and it specified what they were doing with this, then yes, we should be.
Okay. And then I know in the packet it shows the location. It's right at the northern edge of the woods. Which that's not actually correct. It's south of that, where the old farm was.
Correct.
Immediately adjacent to the road access on the east side.
Right. So the location inside the wooded area. One of the issues that we wanted to do is we didn't want to spend any money. That was when I asked the mayor, and I take it forward. The idea was, yeah, don't spend any money. So we don't want to have to remove any trees. Undergrowth is pretty easy since we rent or lease out a piece of equipment kind of towards the beginning of every spring anyway. But the barn and the silo are on a large enough location that the only thing that's over there right now is just regular annoyance. So with the scrap kind of, all the large scrap kind of moved out of the way, it's just an empty lot surrounded by trees and kind of covered anyway. So there's not a lot of work to do whatsoever.
Has the debris that was on that site been removed? Not obviously, the barn was raised, but the rest of the debris from the foundations, is that still existing?
The concrete's there, the metal is gone.
Okay, so all we have are some...
it's a couple piles of rubble.
Rubble piles.
Yeah, some of them we removed a year or so ago just because when they fell over. Yeah, it's the dangerous stuff, but not all of it.
Okay. Is there an existing gate there, or are we going to install a gate?
There's a post and some wire, so it's basically just hooking up another piece of wire and then a chain with a lock.
Okay, will there be any signage?
Yeah, there's going to be a sign. They want to do all four corners, but nobody really has the guts to go all the way back into the forest because of the amount of poison ivy and stuff like that further back.
How far into this area are they going to be allowed to go?
Pretty much only the area where it's kind of
clear.
Right.
The only area. Need to find that and make certain that it's...
good, yeah.
Yes.
I would like to see that it's restricted to a certain area. With this being a public park, with it being gated... if it's just a wire, that's just to prevent vehicles from going in and out. I assume it's not. We're not fencing this in.
No.
So I just want to make sure that it still is a public park. If somebody did want to go through the rest of the wooded area at their own
risk,
they could. But I want to try to keep this contained.
Good point.
Just in a nice, neat manner.
Sure.
Not
kind of
scattered around, so if somebody goes back there, I don't want to have problems.
Yeah.
Further back into the forest.
We had the first inspection of the site, we had attempted to go back, and I kind of chickened out. So we only kind of went as far back as where the barn used to be, and there's actually, if you keep walking and you have the guts to do so, there's already posts back there, so it might just be as easy as kind of putting up some snow fencing along the back. But yeah, it's really, really thick back there. And there's evidence there's plenty of deer back there, so it's... all of the area south, or excuse me, that would be west of where the barn and silo used to be is all really, really thick.
I know you volunteered your time to do some bird hogging out there.
I did. Well, the original idea was that this could be all volunteer, then there would be nothing on the city docket. It would just be kind of a pet project. Thankfully, we have two city staff members that are beekeepers who are also interested in the project. And then from time to time, we do have swarm calls. Where a large congregation of bees kind of ends up on a flag post or something innocuous like that. So staff has had the opportunity to kind of, all right, what do we do with these bees? And if they're on the clock, they can't take a box full of bees out to their bee farm. So this would also allow us a place to put the things that we catch that are wild and then kind of figure out what to do with them from there as opposed to just calling somebody else. Because we do have two more than capable members on staff.
With those staff... this will be absolutely minimal for their amount of time that will have to be put into this project.
Absolutely.
Cost just in administration of the program.
Absolutely.
The application of $25, is there any limit on the amount of beehives an individual can have?
Three.
It is set at three. Okay.
Chair.
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 Yes, sir. Just a follow-up. How close are these bees going to be to the nearest ball field?
If you looked at the map, it's at least a couple thousand. Did you actually do the measurements?
We have. We were going to go out with it. If it's got pretty, it's pretty far away from the ball field. We know that there's any problems with it.
Anybody who's kind of grown up, at least a little bit further west than here, the bees that bug you at ball games are shiny, and they're instruments of evil and should be incinerated on sight. One of my mottos is, when I talk to my kids about bees, is furry bees are friends, and shiny bees are the spawn of Satan. So the bees that you're worried about aren't the bees that people keep for honey. Honeybees are the only bees on the planet that give us something to eat, whereas wasps and, yellow jackets and wasps can die a fiery death. So this is more of it's an attempt to kind of, number one, educate the area. We have a lot of people that wanted to get involved in beekeeping when we first did the permitting thing, but because of how strict we had our regulations, which we're going to leave alone for the time being, this was the alternative that actually Alderman Koch brought up before we went any further with the original permitting idea. But based on my previous kind of research, I didn't think that was a very good idea. But I've kind of come around to it. It makes a lot of sense. They're doing it in a lot of very tight, close urban areas. And we've got a lot of property that we don't use and that we don't have any plans on doing because there's never any plans to develop anything. So it seems like it's a perfect spot. It's out of the way, yet it's right in the middle of town. And it's property that we really don't have any plans on chopping down anytime soon.
Tim, what if we ever do build another ball field out there? This wouldn't interfere in any way.
It would interfere with that if you still have the open grass area that on the south side of the ballparks right now. So potentially we looked at putting a fourth ball field out there still.
And the other beautiful thing is that the city doesn't own anything besides the property. Everything else is the beekeeper's property.
Anyone else? Roll call, please.
Cope?
Aye.
Pat?
Aye.
Fritters?
Aye.
Terulis?
Aye.
Colosimo?
Aye.
Funkhauser?
Aye.
Leschewski?
Aye.
Teeling?
Aye.
Motion passes.
Okay, under Planning Commission, we have three ordinances for the GC Housing Development. Two?
Ordinances and four.
How come mine was three? I'm sure the developer wants to say a few words. Do you want to do the motions first, or? You guys can speak first, and we'll go through the motions. Go through the motions.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor, members of the council, staff, and members of the community. My name is Jeff Crane, and along with my partner, Ralph Grandian, we are proposing to construct an independent, affordable senior housing project within your community. We've had several meetings, both public and amongst the committees within the United City of Yorkville. And what we've attempted to do in each one of those committees, in each one of those meetings, excuse me, was to listen to those in the community and try to find a common ground, a basis that we can find something that will, number one, not only benefit your community, but also work within the constraints which we have, which are both self-imposed and those imposed by the Illinois Housing Development Authority. I remind you that at the present time we are competing for these tax credits. There are 11 individual projects which are being submitted across the state. Ours is the only project, which is in Kendall County, which we feel puts us in good stead. This competition, though, is based on a point system, based on IDA's QAP, which is how they evaluate these programs. And each and every point is important. It's the difference between being selected and not selected. When we looked at Yorkville, because we love this community, the people that we have met through all of the committees, the people that we've met in the community have all been, those for and against the project have all been very nice to us. And we like this community. We want to become a part of your community. we have, in the last meeting where we, 2 weeks ago, when we presented here, there were a number of issues that came up. And as I'm sure that each one of councilmen see, we have actually submitted a plan now which is different from what was in front of you 2 weeks ago. We had listened and we felt that it was important that we take what we have heard and try to find something that would again be sympathetic to the issues that were raised, not only from council members but also from the community. We evaluated a number of different possible plans in order to make this site work for all of us. We looked at the possibility of making this a three-story building. What we found was that, and we could have done that in two different ways. We could have put our parking outside and fully met what the requirements were of Yorkville, because the requirements for a senior housing project like this is a half a unit, a half a spot per unit. We felt that was totally insufficient. This is what they did in the first phase of the Diamonds up in Oswego, and if any of you went and saw that while it was only the first phase that was there, you saw cars parking on the street. We looked at a three-story possibility, which would take some of our units and reduce the size from 75 units to 65 units, move some of the units down to the first floor, and we have some indoor parking. We felt that that was not right because we feel very strongly, although the economics of our deal are much better, we felt very strongly to put the parking inside. Obviously, our cost was more expensive to put the parking inside than it would be to put it outside. But we feel very strongly that it is a programmatic part of our development that we have safe, secure indoor parking for seniors. We looked at the possibility of excavating and making this building a little bit shorter by digging a partial basement and lowering the building, effectively making the building a little bit shorter. That created a number of issues for us as it related to the requirements of the American Disabilities Act because of the fact that we would be at a lower level. We looked at the possibility of taking and potentially chopping off part of the fourth floor, just reducing from 75 to 65 units, and just making part of our building three stories and four stories. That didn't work for our program. So what we ultimately came to was we decided that we can make our project work, rather at 75 units or 65 units. So we reduced the length of one of the wings of the building, and we moved our building further to the west, away from the eastern property line. What we did is, in our previous drawing, our southeast corner was 48 feet from our eastern property line. This new drawing has us in excess of 82 feet. At our northeast corner, we're going to be 140 feet from the eastern property line. And if you drew a line along the edge of our building and looked at the area of the triangle, somewhat different, a little bit offset from a triangle, we have over 1 acre of area east of our building that, aside from the emergency fire lane, would be a green area. We reduce our lot coverage to just over 53%, and we really felt that this was a solution that was responsive to what we heard. Again, I'd like to thank all of you on the council for the input which you have given to us. I cannot express to you, how excited we are to potentially become part of your community. Our intention and our history is that we are long-term partners in communities. The properties that my family has owned, go decades. And we are not merchant builders. We are long-term holders of real estate. and that is our intention to do here. So again, I want to thank you for your consideration and appreciate being heard. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Crane. Unfortunately, there was a legal objection filed, and we just got that material about 2 hours before the meeting, and it is about 173 pages. So I did hear from more than one alderman that they would like time to review that material. So I believe even if we tabled this for 2 weeks, I don't think it would impact the project. So if that's a desire of the council, I don't see that as being a problem. I don't want to end the debate now, if anyone has any comments or questions.
I have a question.
Yes, sir.
If these tax credits that you're applying for, if you don't get them, then what?
The issuance of these tax credits being awarded that is an integral linchpin of our deal. If we are not awarded those tax credits, our intention would be to resubmit. Now, given the zoning, that we would resubmit again the next go-around. The fact that the application for tax credits is a two-step process. Mm-hmm. The first is an initial, which we submitted. We were one of over 60 projects in the state. They cull out very few projects. It really has to be a bad project to be knocked out. Several more. But once you make that first threshold, it gives you a period of time that you can reapply into the second round. So our intention would be that if we didn't get them now, we would reapply again. It is not uncommon for people to have to apply, you know, 2 and 3 times to do that. And we built that time frame has been built into the development agreement, which you have in front of you, which enables us to continue to make an application downstream.
So what's the timeline then? So you're on your second. This is standing in the way of doing that. What's the date on that?
Okay, so our application for this round is due on February 29th. So by extending this 2 weeks and going to the 23rd, it's not our preference to do that.
Right.
But, you know, given that we could get the proper documentation from the city to incorporate into our package, we could make that work.
Okay, so let's do 4 more examples of PROQ. If this is a no, but let me start over. If this is a yes and that's a no, when is your next resubmittal date?
March?
No. Well, that's for a first round. That's for a first round. You know that, Andy?
Yeah, March 14th.
That's for first application.
You're asking when we would find out?
No. When is the next second round application going?
Gosh, you said September.
July 11th.
Okay. All right. So yes here, no in February. What about a no in July?
We still have the ability to go another time.
The following February.
Whenever the state establishes.
September 7th.
Right.
Okay.
February 10th, 2017.
If this is a no, you can't submit in February, correct?
No. If this is a no,
it's a no.
Then it's a no, and we pack up our bags and we leave.
Thank you for answering that.
Sure. Anyone else?
Funkhauser?
Aye.
Leschewski?
Nay.
Teeling?
Nay.
Koch?
Aye.
Motion passes.
Okay, so we will revisit this in 2 weeks after everyone has had a chance to review all the new material. No ZBA or City Council report, City Clerk's report?
No report.
No report. Community, any liaison report?
Yes, sir. Real briefly, school board last night, I go say that they heard the request from GC Housing to have a waiver of their impact fee. The board at their committee of the whole was receptive. That is up for 2 weeks for discussion. And then on the discussion of the CVB, we've been having meetings for strategic planning, and the organization is going to join a meeting for marketing committee, strategic planning, and trying to consolidate and make things a little more efficient within that organization. So that's actually happening next Friday.
Any other community liaison reports? Any staff reports?
No reports.
Additional business. I did want to report that Bart and Lynn and I had lunch this last week with the new developer of Kendall Marketplace. And I tell you what, we are very, very fortunate we got someone like this developer. They are very motivated. They're looking to fill Kendall Marketplace up. So I'm very happy to chat with them. We gave them the wish list from all of our surveys, things that Yorkville residents want to see here. Obviously, Yorkville residents dream pretty big with Portillo's, the Whole Foods, and Trader Joe's.
Yes.
But I also wanted to mention they were very excited about this GC Housing. I mean, as you know, from being on the Economic Development Committee or anywhere else, I mean, you need rooftops, you need residents to bring these sorts of things to town. So, yeah, they were very excited to hear about this project. Anything else from that lunch part?
No, you covered it.
Yeah, but we're very, very fortunate. It's not some big conglomerate that owns it. I mean, the person, the developer is very hands-on, so it's nice to see. No other additional business. We do have to go into executive session for litigation. So we will adjourn to executive session. There will be no action.